I have a large announcement to make. Well, let's put it this way, a tall announcement to make this morning, and I'm not tall. On Easter, our worship leader will be standing right there. That melt your face guitar player is going to be back. Chris, I can't wait. I'm already super excited. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Easter. And with that said, we do have our push cards, as I like to call them. You know, just walk up to somebody, don't say anything, just push it. And, you know, just push it, just push it. Just put it on the counter to them immediately. And just say, hey, you need this. But we have cards out there where you can invite somebody to our Easter service. Who are you going to invite? My message is on the thief. Do you know someone who's broken? Do you know someone who's hurting? Do you know someone who's backslidden? You know what? There are people who are lost to God who have known Him. And they can be sitting right next to you at work. And they are fallen people because of things that have happened in their life. And I'm going to encourage you to invite at least one person to our Easter service. Our kids have got, our ministry team back there has got some great things planned for the kids on Easter. You know it's going to be fun with Pastor Matt involved, so you need to invite families to come on Easter, and we encourage you to do that. And we're looking forward to our worship leader being back. Would you, for a moment, just give a hand to our team for carrying on while Chris has been, God has been healing his body and bringing him back to where he needs to be. We thank Colin. He wears about 18 hats here. And so I heard Chris was at practice Thursday night, and I know the team was super excited about that. So it's going to be good to see Chris. Some of you got to see Chris last Sunday. He's not here today, but you will see him back on that guitar. If you wonder where the organ's coming from, he's doing it on the guitar. It's amazing the things he does. This morning, I need to obey the Lord in something. Tim, would you stand? The Lord, last night in worship, I saw the Lord drop a compass into your hands. And when I looked into the compass, to the face of the compass, it was pointing south. And what God was saying is that He's reconnecting you to the magnetic field of the Holy Spirit within you. And that He is stirring once again the gifts that are within you. And the Lord says this, just like Paul told Timothy, don't forget the hands that were laid upon you at your calling, to remember the call. And the Lord also gave me Proverbs 9:11 for you also, that the Lord is going to multiply your days. What He is saying, the days that have been stolen and the hours that have been taken. And when you feel like I can't get to this because there's just not enough time to do all the stuff I got to do, the Lord said He's about to multiply your days and the hours, and you're going to accomplish all that you need to accomplish. That verse also talks about that He's going to add life to you, add years to your life. And the Lord told me this. He said, what's been stolen from your life, He is about to give back to you in fullness. Is the Lord good, or is He good? He's a good God. And we just, Ryan, would you just stretch your hands towards Him? Father, we just bind this word to Him. And we plead the blood of Jesus. And this word shall not be stolen. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the scriptures tell us that Moses was the humblest of all men. And this humble man did something that irritated everybody. He constantly, all the time, rehearsed over and over and over and over again the teachings and the lessons of God. Now, most of you know, some of you are learning as you're new here, that I have, Rochelle and I have overseers that we submit ourselves to. It's four couples, well, three couples, and then Pastor Dan. Everybody loves Pastor Dan. Been with us a long time. He lost his wife just a couple of years ago. And as Dan tells me, he's too busy to date. And that sounds like Dan. So, but we had four couples, but we have three couples. We submit ourselves to overseers. Now, I need you to listen very carefully to me and not be distracted at this moment. Many times I come to the overseer, whether I'm meeting just with the pastor, Rusty, or Pastor Paul or Pastor Jeff or Pastor Dan, or Rochelle and I are meeting with both of them, the husband and the wife. We submit ourselves to them and anything they want to speak into our lives, whether that's correction, counsel, insight, whatever. What's interesting is how many times that I meet with them and they begin to rehearse what they've already told me the last time. Now, the critical mistake I could make is that we make many times is when we hear a message that we've heard before a subject, we say, I already know that. I've already got that. I'm already mature in that. I don't need to listen to you. You're not feeding me anyway. See, that's pride, and that's a lack of humility, number one. But also to determine in yourself that God is not in what's happening. I can't imagine not having ears to hear what my overseers are speaking to me, even if they're rehearsing what they said the last time I was with them. When they rehearse something, my ears become larger. Because God has something within that rehearsing that He wants to point out to me. Where we miss it many times is we decide in ourselves that I don't need this, and you miss the very thing you need. And when God rehearses something, He is trying to point something out that He wants you to focus on. Doesn't mean you didn't listen the first time. It's just God is focusing down on something that He needs you to really get a hold of. And so when my overseers rehearse something, I am all ears, and my hands are working quickly, taking notes. Searching for that one thing. It may be more than one thing. It could be a half a dozen things within what they said before they're saying again to me. Rochelle and I will walk away and I go, well, that's the third time they brought that up. And we have a discussion about focusing in what is it that God is trying to get us to land on real firmly. Well, we're going to cross that bridge today. And I'm going to rehearse something because God said to. And if God told me that we're going to rehearse something today, you need to be undistracted. Because there's something God wants you to get for every person in this room. And the great mistake we could make is, I don't need this. There's nothing in here for me. God wouldn't go to the trouble to make sure that He led me to, through a series of things that happened, to say, I want you to rehearse this, and I'm not giving you an option. You're going to rehearse this, and I'm going to give you the day you're going to do it, and it's today. So, Father, we come to You in Jesus' name this morning. As we've honored the body and the blood of Your Son, our Savior, our Lord, God Almighty, we come to You today and we submit ourselves to You to have ears that are growing right now to hear what You want to say to us personally. In Jesus' name, amen. I have made a statement through the years. I made it recently this year, and I've made it many times, but today we're going to put it on the screen. I've never had it put on the screen. I just make this statement, but today I want to put it on the screen so that you can see it as I read it. Prayer is essential as breathing, and we must put a supreme importance on prayer. And prayer must become a priority. We'll make all the time in the world for what we put a priority on. When are we really going to make prayer number one? When are we really going to make studying and reading the Word and praying the Word number one? This morning I'm going to share with you four statements that Jesus made about prayer. And we're going to rehearse some things and get locked into what God wants us to do and what He wants us to understand. Number one, in Matthew 6:5, he said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them." Now pause. There is nothing wrong with praying on street corners. There's no problem praying where traffic's going by. I'll never forget when Pedro and his wife came here from the Yucatan jungle and began to talk to Tiffany and Colin about the fact she couldn't get pregnant. You know, that's why we got a grandson in the Marines, and you've all met Felicity running around. Many years gap here. And out in the middle, the back of a kind of a field thing, right in Mansfield with traffic going, Pedro says, "Can I pray for you?" And Tiffany Collins said, "Sure." And here we go with traffic going by. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? It's the attitude. Why are you doing it? Who's it for? Is it about exposing you or glorifying God? It's important. This is important. Last part of that verse says, "I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get." It goes back to my sermon on humility, right? Why do we do what we do? Do I have to be seen and heard? Or do I just let God open those doors? And that when I am seen and heard, I only have one priority: glorify God. Glorify God. Prayer is not about revealing how spiritual you are. It's not about revealing how much you know. It's not even about revealing how well you speak. How many of you appreciate the Apostle Paul? He had trouble speaking. How many of you appreciate Moses? He had trouble speaking. And they impacted what? Nations and worlds. It's not about that. Prayer is about being raw and real. Just having a conversation with God like I'm having with you right now. Like nobody's around. You don't realize this about me, but when I'm praying, even in public, I forget everybody in the room. I'm praying as though you're not there because I'm praying to one person. And if it don't come out just right, so what? Somebody wants to critique my prayer, so what? My Father's responding totally different to my prayer. So we need to pray. We need to stop the excuses. It's not about putting all the right words together and sounding intelligent. It's about just having a conversation with God. Now, I found something. I've shared this, I think, once before, and I relocated it again. I pinned some reminders to myself in one of my journals, and I'm sure if I would go back even further back than this journal, I'd probably find that I pinned it a couple, two or three more times. But in January of 08, I pinned some reminders to myself about prayer, reminders that I believe will help you. Number one, when praying, keep it simple and honest. You want to hear one of my simple and honest prayers? Oh God, would you help me once again, please? And it's amazing how he responds. That's after an hour of worship, 30 minutes of studying the Word, and all I got to say is, simple and honest. I'm going to drill down on this as we go here. Number two, when praying, just be you, the real you, not some weird version of you. Don't try to be like everybody else in the room. Well, they're getting noticed, and I'm not. That's okay. You are getting noticed by God. I remember going to 5 o'clock prayer meeting. Well, I actually didn't get there at 5. I got there at 5:30. I didn't have to be at work at 7:30. So I'd go. I heard there was prayer meetings at the church, and they went on for years off and on. Sometimes there'd be one person there, and that one person was me. Sometimes there'd be 10 people there, and there'd be people coming and going. And I would go around and get around all the people that were praying, trying to figure out who was touching God and who wasn't. You know, you get to thinking, well, that lady over there who's laid plumb out, I can't, she's just mumbling something over there. And her Bible's out in front of her. She hadn't looked at it all the whole time, but it's like she's touching God, so I think that's what I got to do. Then there's a lady over there, and I feel sorry for her Bible. She's hit that pulpit about 4 times with that Bible. If Pastor knew that, they'd be upset. Up there just standing, praying and beating that Bible. Then you see a person over here with their legs crossed and never say a word, just writing. And I'm watching all these different things, and I'm thinking, I got to try all these different things, you know. One lady's over here so loud that it's like, I can't pray she's so loud. And then every now and then there'll be somebody pop up behind a pew and behind me, and I'm like, where'd you come from? You know? And they'd be, their mascara would be running, or the man would just be sobbing and be you. Don't be someone else. Be you. God hears you. Quit trying to mimic other people. Now, I'm just going to say this because, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to let me have some fun here. I went through a season where I was like, why is everybody wearing a Jim Swaggart haircut? Nothing on Jimmy. Jimmy's always wore his hair that way ever since the 50s. And I thought, all these preachers, I'm thinking, be you. Just be you. Don't be somebody else. I don't introduce who I am in public unless I'm forced to. I love for people not to know who I am, because they get to talking to me and tell me all kinds of stuff. And then I get to help them. Number 4 is going to speak deeper to that. Number 3, when praying, say exactly what's on the inside of you, just as you would anyone. You've got close friends to you that you feel like you can say anything to, correct? Why don't you just talk to God that way? Now, for some of you, the way you talk to people, God will be doing a lot of correcting along the way. But you just need to be open to it. Just talk to God like you would anybody else. And number 4 is very important. When praying with many or few words, your Father in heaven loves hearing from you, and he understands your unique style of communication. Your unique style of communication. I'll never forget, man, people coming over to me, wise people, I know, been in the kingdom a long time trying to direct me on how I should come in on those mornings and how I should pray and how to do this and how to do that. And I learned wrong. God created me to be me. And he understands me. And my communication is not the same as Rochelle's. My communication can be fairly quiet at times. Rochelle's, you know, if she's got the house to herself, I wonder what the neighbors think. And the kids, all of our kids, the 3 that are here, say amen, you know. They know. Adri serves in another church. So Pope Francis said this, to be friends with God means to pray with simplicity, like children talking to their parents. I kept Felicity the other day, and Felicity told me all kinds of stuff. In very simple terms, this is important what I'm about to say. I didn't understand half of it, but God understood it all. Are you with me? I promise you, if God had been standing, what did she say? He'd just rattle it right off. He understands her unique, what? Communication. He understands yours. I mean, at one point, she had to grab a salt and pepper shaker to use in its illustration to get me to understand what she was talking about. God understands you. Number 2, statement Jesus made in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Let's look at it from the Amplified. But when you pray, go into your most private room and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Some of the greatest rewards you'll ever receive is not when you do something in the public's eye. It's when you're hidden away with God. And He will do stuff in the public eye. Because that's the God that He is. My prayer closets, and there's several. I call them priest chambers. I'm bringing this up again. God's rehearsing this for a reason. Don't shut me down or you're shutting God out. Because He's the one having this happen right now. You've got to create a priest chamber, a closet, a place to get alone with God. You've got to find that quiet place, that undisturbed place. Yeah, but you don't understand, we got kids everywhere. You don't understand, I'm busy. I've got so much stuff to do, I can't even keep up with it all. You don't understand. Back to, I will make time and space for what I put a priority on. And all that other stuff is in trouble if you don't make this a priority. A friend of ours who pastors now in Wisconsin, Plano boy in Wisconsin, that was an interesting move for him. That's cold up there. My mother lived up there. And I asked him one time, I said, where's your prayer closet? You got all the people living in your house. He said, well, there's a downstairs bathroom, and I'd seen that bathroom. I mean, there was nothing to that downstairs bathroom. And he says, I go in there for an hour and a half. And I said, there's not even room to turn around hardly. He goes, I know, that commode gets really hard after a while. And he kept a cassette player in there with those funky headphones we had back then. I know some of you didn't know about those kind of things we had, you know, prior to what we do today. And he would put those headphones on. He told me, he said, I'd be in there in worship and prayer and everything for an hour and a half. And I said, what did you do? And he said, well, every now and then I'd get up, stretch my legs, sit back down. There was no place to go. And that was his prayer closet. You know why? Because he knew he had to have it. I've had prayer closets and storage bins where it was hot in the summer and really cold in the winter. I've had front porches, back porches, 3-mile walks. Do what you have to do. And create a place of prayer. Pen truth, my pen truths are things that I've learned and revelations from God. Your prayer closet, priest chambers, must be a place you visit habitually. That's a strong word if you think about it. I love what the Free Dictionary says about defining it. Established by long. I should have put a whole bunch of G's on that. Long. Regular. Use. I still have people ask me, you hear this clarity from God about stuff. How does that happen? Long, regular time spent in the priest chambers. In the priest chambers. May I throw this out for free? Have a heart that desires for your Father to correct whatever needs to be corrected when you walk in. It's important. It really is. How many of you would have loved that your kids would have got up every morning and said, what do I need to be corrected over? Oh man, you'd have jumped and shouted, praise God. Sit down. I got some things to share with you. Why would you do that? Because you love them. Your Father loves you. Number 3 statement that Jesus made, Matthew 7:7-8. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Now let's look at this from the Amplified. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking. Read that word for yourself up there. I want you to read it for yourself. Just say it back to yourself. Are we coming in bowed low before the Father in humility and reverence when we enter our priest chambers? See, that's why I'm saying if you come in that way, you'll come in with a heart that says, Father, what do I need to change in my life? And the door will be open to you. And for everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Now let me share with you three keys to increased persistence. Number one, continue asking is the first step. Never quit asking. Keep asking. Here's the point. Stay in a posture of prayer. Well, Pastor, that's easy for you. You can go down to the church and lay on the floor. I work in a cubicle. And if my boss comes by all the time, I can't be laying on the floor. I can't be down on my knees. I can't have my journal out on the desk and writing stuff. So what do I do? Well, we need to understand the word defined. Out of the College English Dictionary, a posture is an attitude that you have towards something. Do you have an attitude of prayer with you all day long? I don't have to lay on the floor. I don't have to kneel down. I don't have to have my book open. But I can be in prayer all day long. It's an attitude. Do I live my day with a posture of prayer? To the point that when I do something during the day, do I question what I've done and say, Father, what about what I just did? Was that good? Or should I make some changes there? Did I do that in the right heart and the right attitude? Or was I seeking something? An attitude of prayer through the day. Donald Miller said this, if we knew how much God loved us and was for us, we'd talk to him all day long. If we recognize how much he loved us. Number two, continually seeking is the second step. Never quit seeking. What is seeking? With my prayer, the point is stay in God's word. Now here's the truth you need to hear, and we all need to hear. It's why I wrote that down as a reminder back to myself in 08. The Word of God, this Word, redefines my prayer until I am seeking His will. I'm going to say it again. In my priest chambers, it's not just praying. It's worshiping God. It's coming in bowed low. It's coming in with the Word of God and letting the Word of God define and redefine my prayer until I am praying God's will and not my own. The Word of God is the Word that will bring correction, reproof, teach us, lead us, guide us, direct us. Scripture tells us it does all those things. And I know that one of the great struggles in prayer is when God starts redirecting your prayer from what you want it to be to what He needs it to be. You just got to be in the Word of God. The Word's got to be a priority. Number three, continue knocking is the third step. Never quit knocking. I like to say, point, you must have resolve. And Winston Churchill said, it is not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we must do what is required. Do you have a resolve to do whatever's necessary to do these things? And sometimes the necessary thing to do is to humble ourselves. Are we willing to do whatever's necessary? Cut something out. Slow down. Wow, that word made the room go silent. Slow down. Readjust your schedule. Let me say it this way. Take back your calendar for the kingdom of God. It's important. Pin truth, never give up. Is that your resolve? I'm never going to give up. No, I don't know what you're talking about over there, but that's okay. Somebody's device just talked to me. Said, I didn't understand that. Would you repeat? Okay, since y'all ask, I'll repeat it. Okay. That's what it said. Never, ever give up. Is this your resolve? Is this your resolve? I'm going to plow through this. You ready to go? Four elements to an effective prayer life. Do you want those? Okay. Would somebody step up and turn the air on? I see people fanning and just turn the air conditioner on. We can just turn one of them on. Everybody will get cool here. I don't want everybody falling asleep. I'm in an important place. See how much I want you to hear this? I'm going to freeze you out now. So you stay awake. Four elements to effective prayer. Number one, adoration. It's back to what I was talking about, coming in bowed low before God. An attitude of true worship. You know what an attitude of true worship is characterized by? A true fear of the Father. Not where you come in shaking, think he's going to kill you. No, I'm talking about a reverence. A fear of reverence to God. Reverence. How often do we plow in with our agenda? We plow in with our whining, our complaining, instead of plowing in on my face and realizing that my Father is already going to take care of all that, so I have no need to complain or whine. Because I've come in so low that his train now is filling the temple of the room and his presence is so real. And all of a sudden, I'm just overwhelmed by peace and calm. I don't even have to open my mouth. The Father's telling me, I've got this. I've got this. It means to be bowed low with love to the Father. And here's the big thing. Prayer begins with listening first. Listening for him. See what he has to say. Number two, thanksgiving. An expression of the small things in gratitude. We always wait till he finally answers one of my prayers. Now I'm going to thank you, Jesus. How about just getting up one morning and just saying, Father, thank you that I was able to take another breath. Take another step. And thank you, God, that you got me through to the other side of the house and I didn't stub my toe. Can we thank him for the small stuff? Show our gratitude for just the simple things in life? We need to start listing those things, whether that's words that are spoken or words that are written. Let's let the Father know about the small stuff. Because you know what? He's interested in everything in your life. And we need to start thanking him for small things. The little things. Let me tell you what I was thanking God for in Brahms. Full of baseball players. All around us. Listening to all of their chatter. I was thankful. Now listen. I was thankful for my health. That I could be in that place and keep up with Felicity. I was. I said, Lord, thank you because she's full of energy and she needs a grandfather to keep up with her. Thank you. I did. I was sitting there. I said, thank you for my health. Thank you for my health. Practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God always. Number three, our most favorite word in the English language, submission. What is the proper approach in prayer with submission? It's real simple. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Father, I'm here this morning. I got a lot of will that needs to be worked on. And I want your will to be done the way you want it done, however it needs to be done. And if it's not through me, through someone else, I don't care. Just, I want your will done. That's submitting in prayer. Number four, I'm going to get on my soapbox. Knowing the power is in the name of Jesus. Well, Father, in your name we pray. No! In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, I'm so thankful in your name. No! I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. The power is in the name of Jesus. When you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. Stop fitting in. Stop being worried about what they're going to say. All they can say is, you'll never get to pray again. Pray in the name of Jesus. That's where the power is. Now I'm acting like Rochelle. You just got Rochelle'd and you didn't know it. Pray in the name of Jesus. The enemy's doing everything he can to shut the church up in praying in the name of Jesus because that's where the power is. And when we're not praying the power, that's affecting us. But more than that, it's not delivering a world that needs the power of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Get me in front of a city council meeting and it's going to be in Jesus' name several times. Don't ask me to pray if you don't want me to pray in Jesus' name. Just telling you. Because I'm going to. Whenever COVID hit, Ron Wright, everybody remember Ron Wright, congressman, passed away with cancer. I miss him still. And I was going to pray, open up one of the sessions, and then COVID hit. He came to me and he goes, it was really funny. We're sitting there and we were eating a meal. We're hiding out at one of the events. Ron and I had a place to hide behind a desk in his house when there was a lot of people. He said, you're going to pray in Jesus' name, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. He goes, oh, there's a person up there that ain't going to like that. I said, you know me. He said, I know you. That's why I picked you. Do not cow to the narrative and the pressure. Pray in Jesus' name because you're here to glorify Him. Pray in Jesus' name. Well, my boss said I can't do it. I said, well, boss, I can't pray. I need you to pray. You're the man of God. You're the woman of God. Then I'm praying in Jesus' name. Well, if you do, I'll never let you do it again. Well, at least I'll get this one in. Pray in the power of Jesus' name. And that leads me to number four, John 14, 13 through 14 says, and I will do whatever you ask in what? My name. So that the Father will be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, Jesus Christ, I will do it. Another translation says, in fact, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me for something in my name, I will do it. Key thing here, when you pray in Jesus' name, what are you doing? You're glorifying the Father and the Son. What do we exist to do? Glorify the Father. Pray in Jesus' name. Now off my soapbox, on to the next thing. We got to stop fearing the pushback. We got to stop trying to fit in. We're going to pray in the power of Jesus' name. Acts 3:16 says, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Through faith in the what name? Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Acts 4:9-12. Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you, to all the people of Israel, he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. I want to prepare this moment as I end this sermon with my final statement here in a moment. A lot of prayer has gone on in this place. Let's remind ourselves that this is a tool, a building. It is not the church. You're the church. But there's been a lot of prayer and anointing that's gone on down here. I'm going to share a story with you, a true story. The threshold of these chairs has been anointed and prayed over. In the late 80s, I was working for a company. I was working in the oil field industry as a supervisor in a particular department of that company. And I did a Bible study every day for myself. And as usual, I would just sit down in the middle of everybody and open up my Bible and my lunch and do my thing. It never failed. They all ended up down there. Nobody wanted to be around me. Are we bold enough to be who we were called to be? And so I'd be down there. And I wasn't a pastor yet, so don't throw that on me. I wasn't a pastor yet. They're down there. And all of a sudden I feel this presence behind me, and I'm like, somebody's pulled up a chair behind me. I turn around, and this guy's got this look on his face. It's hard for me to describe. It was just wild. And he said, I want what you got. And in my typical sarcastic way of doing things, I said, what have I got? I knew what he was talking about, okay? I said, what I got? And then his answer kind of set me back. He goes, I don't know, but I want it. You're different. And I said, would you and your wife come to our house on Friday evening, and I'll share with you why we're different? He said, yes, we will be there. True story. They smoked and took as many drugs as they possibly could before they got to our house. This is their own testimony. We're sitting in the living room looking outside when they pull up, and I promise you, I don't even know how they stood up. They were stumbling, falling. It was almost comical as they're coming across the yard. But Rochelle and I do this everywhere we go. We had anointed the threshold of our door as a door of deliverance and freedom. And we believe that anybody walked through our door, if they didn't change immediately, they would change. And the more they came through our door, the more they'd change. They're walking. They barely get, I can hear them outside the door. I can tell they're trying to find the doorbell. And finally I hear their little girl knock on the door. And so I open the door and I step back into the middle of the room because I was thinking they're going to fall into the house. True story. They walked through the threshold of our door and was instantly delivered. Instantly. Tammy's gone now, but Joseph's still alive. He'll tell you instantly. Instantly delivered when they walked through the threshold of our door. Terrified them. We had a captured audience. They sat down on that little love seat we had. That's all we could fit in that room. They sitting on that love seat. We're sitting in two little chairs, and we're talking to them. And, I mean, they were just like, you know, they're just still kind of tripping out. They know their condition before they walk through the door. On the way home, Joseph couldn't take it any longer. He pulls off the side of the highway on 35. Looked at his wife and said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to give my heart to Jesus right now. stuck his hands up, gave his life to the Lord. 2 weeks later, during worship, I see this lady walking down the aisle during worship, just bawling, and all of a sudden she just crumbles on the platform, and it's his wife, and she gives her heart to the Lord. Why do I share that story? Because I want you to understand about the anointing of the threshold that's been anointed and prayed over. Are you ready for a breakthrough in your prayer life? Are you ready to get beyond where you're at and step into that realm you've so desired in your prayer life? Are you ready to open yourself up to whatever God wants to say to you, change whatever He wants to change, redirect you in whatever direction He wants you to go? You want that breakthrough? I'm going to ask you to stand and come through the threshold of where it's been anointed. And you're going to walk into your breakthrough in prayer. And I don't mean there's just been some light prayer going on in this altar. Would y'all come? Just keep coming down. Get closer. You're wanting this breakthrough. Breakthrough to a new place in God in your prayer life. Now you ask yourself whether you're still sitting out there or you're down here. What was it that God was trying to talk to me about? Because you don't want to walk out that door and say you didn't hear anything you needed. You did. Remember, that would be our first mistake. So what did God, what's God saying to you? What is He speaking to you about that breakthrough? About something you need to get home in on and focus on that was said today. It's very, very important. It's very, very important. Now, what should I do at this moment? I'm going to tell you what I always do. I surrender to Him however I surrender. Whether that's you lift your hands, you kneel, you just stand there. Remember, He understands your unique communication. So, Father, as we are here, we have come through the threshold. We have come through the threshold, God, to a new place in prayer. We have come through a threshold that is giving us our breakthroughs in prayer. Giving us breakthroughs in our life, and most of all, shattering and destroying all the enemy's excuses that he's planted in our lives why we can't do this the way you want us to do it. So, Father, as we stand here and we humbly submit ourselves. We bow low with a reverence of how awesome you are. You are the Lion of Judah. You're the Lily of the Valley. You're the bright and morning star. You're the Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. And we submit ourselves right now, this moment, to a new place. A breakthrough place in you. And now we release our burdens to you. In the powerful name of Jesus. You need to say that. I release my burden in the powerful name of Jesus. I receive my breakthrough in the powerful name of Jesus. I step into a new place in prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now just worship Him and thank Him for what He's done. Thank you, Lord. Rachel, would you come?